Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of January 27th, 2017. And today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Well, in all honesty, pretty grim and overwhelmed considering the news that has sort of developed over this past week.
Yeah, it is. So let me just begin with the following premise. Sort of the self-assumed mandate of our show here is, as I say every week, to get insight and perspective. It seems to me this week is one of those weeks where there's just so much going on, historically important stuff going on, that it's hard to maintain any kind of perspective. I think that I was going to use a childhood analogy about the storm, but there's this huge storm circling the White House and where the eye of the storm is, and President, the guy who's now president, is sitting there in the middle of it shooting out lightning bolts and whatnot. Let me just rehearse for a minute, DR, some of the things that came up this week that this guy has done, and for my mind, in hopes of kind of looking for some sort of coherent reaction, because you can't respond to every crazy little... Anyway, so from my list, I've got several here, but I mean, he came out with an ugly inaugural address and then spent the next day arguing about the crowd size, and he sent out his press secretary to blatantly lie and try and get you to accept a lie. Then he went to the CIA and repeated the lie in the most inappropriate circumstances. Turns out he's still talking on an unsecure Android phone. He's got his secretary talking about alternative facts. He's put out executive orders to, try and build a wall, to send the feds, in quotation mark, whatever that means, into Chicago. He's now trying to cut off refugees. He's going to investigate voter fraud, which is, of course, a way to increase suppression of voting. He's trying to gut the Affordable Care Act. He's invited the two pipeline companies back into the game. And last night, I guess, this interview on ABC News, I didn't see the whole thing, but clips of it. I mean, the guy looks like he's in so far over his head, he's just talking. So it's really bad. And I guess the question, from what I'm trying to do is figure out how do you manage all that, right, Darren?
Remember that movie, The Madness of King George? It's the madness of President Donald, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, how does a great country manage to have this, save itself in the circumstance where you've got some guy who's clearly, if he's not psychologically damaged, he's in over his head, right? He doesn't know what he's doing. He's incompetent. And it's not like we all didn't know that, but there he is. I mean, I've been telling myself that America is a great and good country full of good people, and that it is being temporarily run by a small group of nutheads, and that America will right itself if the rest of us participate. And that's the only way forward. I mean, is that a crazy statement?
I would turn that around and say the fact that too many of us did not participate is the reason why we're in the situation we're in.
Well, okay, but I mean, that's why we got to come. So, yes, that is absolutely true. But some of the points that I was just struck with in this whole thing, thinking this past week about authoritarian personalities. Right. This guy should be in charge of a banana republic somewhere. Right. It's his first force of his personality. And he gets compared. All the techniques get compared to sort of historical cases. And you think, at least I think, that somehow, Steve Bannon and the Trumpster, I mean, they're sitting in a room with some reading Mein Kampf, figuring out what Hitler would have done in this circumstance. Exactly. And I realize it's not. It's just this is the authoritarian personality that Trump has. I don't think he's got the wisdom to be strategic. He's just reacting with his id. And if he sends out if he wants to destroy the press because he knows he's going to destroy the press because then his lies, you know, are unchallenged, that's what he does, right? It's not in a book somewhere. That's just what the guy wants to do. And that's what, is that craziness?
It's ironic in the sense that, you know, Alec Baldwin is making fun of him on Saturday Night Live. If you remember that movie Malice that Alec Baldwin starred in, where at one point he calls himself God, that sort of thing. If anything, perhaps Alec Baldwin should do a spoof on Saturday Night Live where he simply repeats the dialogue of that movie, simply dressed up as Trump.
Well, I think that the what I found particularly scary was a guy. Lamar Smith, right, who is, we've talked about before, he's the head of the Science Committee in the House, right? He's a representative from Texas. But he gave a speech on the floor saying that that Americans should just take their news from Donald Trump directly, and how he's fearless and energetic. And it almost sounded like a speech from somebody in North Korea praising the fearless leader. I mean, fearless leader was a joke from the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons when I was... These people say it with a straight face. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think the first sort of calming thing, or the sort of realization that I think people need, is to look at all this craziness and say that it is coherent in the sense that it is an authoritarian personality. This guy would be dictator. He keeps talking about being the president for 8 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like someone's going to remind him there's going to be an election in 4 years, right? That he's talking about 8 years. And I think once you accept that's what you're faced with, it doesn't matter so much all the crazy stuff he's doing, I mean, in detail, right? Each single one. It's that this is what you're faced with at a higher level, and allows you to, I don't know, take a deeper breath and say, okay, at least I know who the enemy is. It's not... I don't know. Am I rambling? Yeah, I mean, tell me.
No, not at all. In fact, I was going to make the point that, do you remember in 2010, the sort of Republicans who put up that billboard in some parts of this country with George W. Bush smiling and the sign said, "Do you miss me yet?" How soon is it going to be before former President Barack Obama put up a billboard with that sign and most of this country will be saying, "Hell yes, we do."
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the... there's something about the authoritarian personality that Trump has, is that he has to humiliate you and make you believe a lie. And, of course, that's a classic thing that authoritarians do, right? Once you accept his lie, then you're bound to him, right? You have to be loyal. So Sean Spicer has already drunk the Kool-Aid, right? Mm-hmm. He walked out and talked about the size and... Trump wants to do that to everybody else. And I think one important thing is to, regardless of what the typical issue is to not accept what he says. I mean, if his mouth's moving, he's probably lying. I mean, it just, I don't know. But I mean, the other, I'm on a rant, DR, forgive me.
You're making absolute sense.
I think that one of the things that, you know, as a person that I'm trying to wrestle with, and I think, you know, I'd suggest to other people, is to ask yourself, you know, what do you believe in, right? Mm-hmm. What's fair? What are the principles that have guided you up to this point, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, ask yourself, what sort of affront to those principles will you accept, right? Mm-hmm. When does this guy cross the line? Has he already crossed the line? At what point do you... And there was an article that came out just after the election of a woman urging people to do that, to write... She said, write yourself a letter. Mm-hmm. About what you think now, because you're going to need it in 6 months. And given the first week, this guy has already, you know, he's off the deep end. And I think that the third question comes is, you know, what are you willing to do about it? Right? Because there's so much, so many fronts, these people are doing things. And just as an aside, I mean, I just read an article that said how, you know, they're whipping off these executive orders in short order, right? Mm-hmm. What's-his-face watches Bill O'Reilly and decides, okay, we're going to go invade Chicago and write me an executive order like he's print. And it turns out the executive orders are not well-written. They're not cleared with anybody. They're not, I mean, to the point of the Keystone XL pipeline, right? He has invited Keystone XL to reapply for the permit, right, which deserves a huge discussion in and of itself. But he didn't even consult with anybody about the fact that Keystone XL is already suing the United States over that very issue. So now he's stuck his executive order into the middle of this court case. And, like, what's going to happen there, right?
It's the consequence of having a very, very large ego and a very, very small IQ.
I mean, so I think that the from my perspective, all of what Trump is doing is essentially a fundamental assault on democracy and information, right? You have to crush information. Everyone has seen probably the fact that the EPA, external communications are shut down. They're doing this to various, especially scientific places. The USDA has been shut down. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is censoring itself. Right? You've seen where they stopped a climate conference before he even got elected, and they just killed an LGBT conference as well, right? So it's, he represents a fundamental assault on democracy and the just the very nature of truth, and that's where you have to take the stand, right? That's where you say, okay, that's too far, at least for me. It's,
exactly. It's an issue of who is going to surrender to fear and who will resist. We're seeing, you know, resistance from people like Governor Daniel Malloy of Connecticut and Mayor Marty Walsh of Boston to this effort to sort of, you know, harass undocumented immigrants out of the country. You're seeing all kinds of resistance to what Trump is trying to do in terms to the EPA and to energy. So it's going to be interesting who bows down and who stands up, basically.
Well, and I think you're quite right. I think that the act of submission is what he wants. And once you have somehow, which is why I get such a kick out of the bad hombre Twitter account. Did you see what happened there, DR? Did you get a story on that?
Yes, yeah, so there are a number of Twitter accounts purportedly from individuals who have been sort of censored by you know, the EPA, by the Energy Department, basically getting out the real facts and basically saying that, you know, we are not going to kneel down to this effort to sort of censor us. This is a more extreme version of some of the stuff George W. Bush tried to pull a decade or so ago. And they're basically saying that, in essence, that, hey, you know, Trump used Twitter to get his message out. We're going to use Twitter. We're going to use accounts that Trump cannot control to get our message out. And we're not going to let you engage in this sort of, I've heard it compared to Lysenkoism, basically, a new age Lysenkoism that Trump is trying to pull.
And so if you do, if you're on Twitter, it's their entertaining tweets that there's, it's Alt Badlands NPS, National Park Service. And then I saw one, there's an Alt EPA, Alt Smithsonian. So all of a sudden, the people in these organizations are finding this creative way to push back. And I think it's a sign of, as we say, not accepting the reality that this guy wants you to accept. And I think that's really an important thing.
And notice how much is being leaked to the AP and to the Washington Post and other media outlets about what's going on inside these various agencies. People, you know, it's good to see the mainstream press finally stand up, the Fourth Estate finally stand up after a long, long time of genuflecting to Trump to finally say, hey, wait a minute, this guy's lying. The New York Times literally calling some of his statements lies. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I think you have to go all the way back to the Nixon era to see this sort of brawl between the press and the presidency.
And unfortunately, I think that's what Trump wants. He wants to get in the mud, right? What do they say about wrestling with a pig is that, you know, you get dirty in the process, right? And, and the pig enjoys it, right? So I saw or heard a thing on NPR with a woman talking about not knowing Trump's intent, so therefore not using the word lie, but doing, instead putting up the actual fact in direct contradiction to the to the things he says.
Sure.
But I mean, it's the other good things that, I mean, so there are signs of hope. I mean, and I think that it comes back to the issue of not accepting the not ending up looking like Chris Christie in that famous mm-hmm. press conference from last November or so, or exactly. whatever it was, right, with a 1,000-yard stare. You don't want to end up there. And the march in D.C. has been hugely successful. We talked about that last show, right? This is a mm-hmm. big deal. There's a green – this is a great image, which will last for a very long time, but Greenpeace climbed up a construction tower next to the White House and unrolled a banner that said resist, right? So now you mm-hmm. have a picture of the White House, and in the background it says resist, which mm-hmm. – I mean, I was thinking two things. One is great image. Second is – Why hasn't the Secret Service gone up? Why don't they have a guard sitting on that tower all the time? We have somebody that can look down on the White House. That's not a good thing. Anyway, mm-hmm. Put that aside. But I think that there is hopeful stuff going on, but it all comes down to a question of the greater strategy, understanding where you are, understanding what you believe, understanding how we can talk in other shows about how to resist, but I mean, the real issue is, do you accept this or do you not accept it? Do you recognize mm-hmm. this for a lie and what the guy is trying to do? And once you do that, you're a step ahead and you're on your way to resisting the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know. That's how I'm feeling, DR.
It's to join the resistance. What can I say?
Yeah.
Again, that line, the sort of, post Pearl Harbor line about awakening a sleeping giant and filling that giant with a terrible resolve. That seems to have been what is going on in this country as a result of some of Trump's actions.
I saw somebody, of course, they're just Twitter posts, but somebody says, this is starting to look like 1989 when the Berlin mm-hmm. Wall fell down, right?
Yep.
Well, DR, look, I guess in conclusion, let me just say this. When this stuff gets to you and there's too much going on, you should just take a deep breath, hold it for a three count, and let it out slowly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're better than all this. We as a country are better than all this. And that by staying true to our principles and staying true to each other and mm-hmm. supporting each other in the days to come, this sort of nonsense will be put back in the sewer where it belongs. Huh? How's mm-hmm. that? How's that for finished, DR?
Definitely.
All right, yeah, we'll put up some links to some of the stuff we talked about, although this was more philosophical discussion than a newsy thing. It'll be at the on the website, massclimateaction.org/blog. Of course, you can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can find us on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, et cetera, and of course, you can find us on iTunes. So we'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and sustainable price on carbon. Thanks very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
And trust me, we will be here next week. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.